Well, guys, we have been talking about John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We looked at week one that God loved. He loved. He loved us so much that he gave, and he gave us his son. So now we flip to our part. What is our part? That whosoever believes, that's our part. We have to believe. So love plus gave plus believe will equal we will live forever. So that's the equation. We don't bring anything to the equation except for our belief. You can't be good enough. You can't do the right things. We're going to continue to stumble. So statistics of North America say that 3 out of 4 persons now do not believe. If we take that for North America and we say that 75% of the people don't believe in Jesus, at least that 75% has heard of Jesus. They know about Jesus. They've heard the stories about Jesus. I mean, you can't convince me that 75% of the people have not heard in North America have heard about Jesus Christ. They've heard about Jesus Christ, but they have chosen for whatever reason not to believe. So being saved, being born again, having this eternal life has to hinge on more than just knowing about Jesus or hearing about Jesus. John 3:16, again, as we look at it, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's a key verse. It's one of the first verses we ever memorize. It's something that we cling to because we know. We know. But there are some people who know that still don't believe. There are some people that know about Jesus, but they still don't believe. And if we look at the statistics, again, in North America, 75% don't, they say they don't believe. There's no affiliation. However, most of those people would tell you they're spiritual. I'm spiritual. You know, every year I take a sabbatical to Sedona, and I stand there and I let the convergence of the universe just kind of fill me up. Or I have this good luck charm. You know, I remember as a kid we used to get those rabbit feet, like keychains. You remember what I'm talking about? And they'd be purple and stuff. You never see a rabbit that color. And then I found out later on there weren't even real rabbit's feet. Because who wants a smelly old dead rabbit foot, you know, to carry around? But anyway, we had these, like it's a good luck charm. Four-leaf clovers, it's a good luck charm. You know, you find a penny, if it's heads up, man, you're going to get more money. If it's heads down, I mean, it's tails up, just stay away from it, right? We believe in all of these things. There are people that have faith in all these different things. They play the lottery. They do all of these things, and they believe, and yet nothing happens. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, it's like, yeah, I've heard the stories, but I just can't, you know, I can't get into it. I don't understand, you know? There was a religious leader, a Pharisee, and as we looked at John, as you look at John chapter 3, go back before verse 16, Nicodemus, a leader of the law, comes to Jesus at night. He didn't want the other Pharisees to know what was going on. And he comes to them, and he says, "Listen, we know that the signs and the miracles and the stuff you do and the things that you say come from God, because no one could do the things that you do. But, you know, is this a trick? Is this something?" Well, Jesus says this, skipping down to verse 11. "I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So he's telling Nicodemus, like, look, you're seeing these signs. I'm feeding the hungry. I'm healing the lame. I'm casting out demons. I'm doing all these things. You admit that I probably have come from God, or God is doing something through me, but yet you still don't believe. And if you don't believe the stuff that I'm doing here in front of your very eyes, how are you going to believe the mystery of God Almighty? And we're the same way. We come to God and we throw out our prayer concerns and we throw out our prayer requests. And if God answers, fine, but God was going to answer that way anyway. But the first time God doesn't maybe answer that prayer the way we want it to be answered, or we say we don't hear from him, then all of a sudden we start to doubt. Like, well, Jesus, I know the stories. You know, I know there were miracles. I know historically that you were crucified, that you were buried in a tomb, and 3 days later you rose. I know all that, but I don't know. Is this a trick? There was one time I went to Poland, and they took us to one of these places, like out in the mountains where it's like wood everywhere and a fire roasting and everything. We sat down at a table, and in order to impress the waitress, I took one of the salt shakers and, you know, I did my little trick and made it disappear. And in doing so, I actually broke it. And then she, quick as a wit, she was telling me, I can't believe you did that. That is an antique, you know, and all this other stuff. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I made it disappear. I made it disappear. Even with the kids today, I'll make a quarter disappear. I'll do things like that, and it's just a trick. But everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus has done, everything that he was about was not a trick. It was about to give you new life, to give us freedom from the fear of death. This is why he came. He says to Nicodemus, basically, you believe my teachings and signs are from God, but still you don't believe. And I'm just showing you the earthly things. I'm trying to show you what my Father's kingdom is like. When I start really talking about heavenly things, about the mysterious God and all of his mysteries and how you never confess, how are you even going to catch on? Because you can't even get this part. Jesus is no trick. It is from God, and he says he does. Do I really believe? Well, Nicodemus was the leader of the law. He was holding fast to the Jewish traditions. Let's break it down a little bit more. What about Thomas? Thomas of Didymus. Thomas is one of the disciples, one of the 12 that was with Jesus, that helped feed the 5,000. He's the one that was there. He was the one that saw all of this. He's the one that experienced Jesus firsthand. And yet, this is what it says in John chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 19, then 24 and 25. It says this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen Jesus," right? But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Do you see that? I will not believe it. We call him Doubting Thomas, right? He really should be called Unbelieving Thomas. You know, I saw these things, Lord. Was it just a trick? Just think of all of the disciples when Jesus was hanging on the cross. John was there with Mary. All the rest had scattered. Peter had denied him and was gone. And when they were gathered in the upper room, when Jesus came to them, they were trying to figure out what was going on. Because Mary and the girls came running back saying, "He's alive." And they went, "What are you talking about? Jesus isn't there anymore." They raced to the tomb and didn't see him. They go back to the room and they're sitting there scratching their heads going, "Is this another trick? Has someone stolen the body? What is going on?" And then Jesus, with the door locked, Jesus says, boom, he's in the room. You know why? Because he's God. He could do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. But Jesus did it. And they all saw him except for Thomas. And then Thomas, when they told him about it, said, "Nah, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I know what you other 10 are saying." Remember, Judas is out of the picture now. "I know what the 10 of you are saying, but I'm not going to believe it unless I could touch it, put my hand in. I want to see it. And some of us today are the same way. You know, I pray, but I don't know if it's really there. There are times that maybe I feel full of faith, but then there are times I don't feel so full of faith. Is this real? If I've given my life to a lie? You know what? If Jesus would just pop up one day, just come into the room, we'll lock the door and let Jesus come into the room, then I'll believe. Then I'll believe. If I can really see Jesus, then I'll believe. Are we waiting for him to come back in body? Are we waiting for that? Waiting till he answers our request before we give him our life? Before we believe in this? He says this to Thomas. Skip down to verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, because he comes back in another time and Thomas is there. He said, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You want to be blessed? Then believe without seeing. Have faith and trust in what Jesus Christ said he was going to do and what he did. John even finishes this chapter by saying this, many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. You know, in other words, he did a whole bunch of other things, but I didn't write them down, but I have written these down so that you would believe. But some people, they know about God, but they don't believe. They're not going to believe until they have absolute proof, you know? Trust the science. Historically, we can show that Jesus was alive. We can show that there were disciples. We can show that this happened, that this happened, that this happened, that this happened, that the city was here, this happened, and this happened. And yet some people still will not believe in the historical Jesus Christ until they see him come back in the clouds. And by then, it could be too late. Some people know but don't believe, but some people don't believe because they don't know. They don't know. I love this part where he says, whoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him, whoever, that's the best part, because if you think about our society today, we are split apart politically, racially, socioeconomically, we are split along cultural lines, but Jesus breaks all that. With Jesus, there is no political, racial, socioeconomic, cultural lines. He is universal. He is not limited to one particular race. He's not for one particular country. The word that he uses, God so loved the world, is cosmos. We get the word cosmic or cosmos with a C instead of the K that the Greek has. But it means everything and everybody, all creation and all people. Sometimes it's easy for us to believe that God loves the world, God loves creation, God loves people generally, overall, right? But he doesn't love me. You know why? Because I know me. I know the secret, dirty stuff in my heart. I know the lying, the cheating, the coveting, the lusting. I know all of these things about me. So yeah, I know that I get the fact that maybe God loves people overall, but he loves some people more than others. You know, like, for example, Abraham. He loved Abraham. Yeah, David messed up, but he loved David because most of the time, David was writing some good things about God. You know, he was spending time in God's presence. Forget about the adultery. Forget about the murder. Forget about the lying. Most of the time, David probably was doing what God wanted. Yeah, I'm not Abraham. I'm not David. I'm not Moses. I'm not Paul. I'm not, well, I am Paul, but I'm not this Paul. And I'm not Peter. I'm not any of these guys. I know he loves them, but I know me. It's hard to see that God loves me. Do you realize when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? There's a verse in there that I love because as you're reading that story, they were crying and weeping. Oh, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Wah, 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 wah. And again, I'm paraphrasing with the whahs, but that was a lot of the stuff going on. And then Jesus says, you know what? Let's move the stone. Move it away. What was their response?
No.
Why not? He's been in there 4 days and he stinks. He's going, man, you open that thing, there's going to be a smell. We ain't going to get it out of the sheets. You know what I'm talking about? That smell's just going to be there for a while. 4 days, right? 4 days. What about those of us that have been dead most of our lives? Imagine the smell to God. We've been dead for years, decades, where we've lived our own life without God, without a need for God. And Jesus is still standing at the tomb of our life saying, you know what? Move the stone and come to life. But we know the stink. We know the smell. It's like, no, you're not ready for this, God. I'm not worthy. Most of us are dead so much longer than 4 days. We were dead longer than 4 days. So I have some truths that I want us to consider as we get ready to wrap up this and we get ready for Holy Week and we're going to experience the resurrection on Sunday, but we've got to go through Passion Week. And this is the week that you should feel it just rip your heart out. It should pierce you to your very guts. But here's some truth to consider this very moment. Number one, I don't have to be somebody. I don't have to be Peter. I don't have to be Paul. I don't have to be Moses. I don't have to be David. I don't have to be Abraham. I am who I am. If I die tomorrow, here's the thing that I've done several funerals in the last couple months, but here's the thing that I've learned. In my own life, you know, I feel a sense of importance. In your life, you probably feel a sense of importance, right? But if I died today, there's probably just going to be just a barely a ripple of effect to people. Now, I hope my family might mourn my loss. Some of you may even celebrate my loss. But the point is, in the overall scheme of things, what has my life mattered? Am I as important as I thought I was? This verse here, whosoever believes in him is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're a king. It doesn't matter if you're a pauper. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, smart, not smart, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It doesn't matter. Whosoever believes in me, he says. You are just as important as Abraham, as Moses, as all of these people. Whosoever, you don't have to be somebody special. You don't have to get it right to get right. You just have to believe, and you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. The second truth that is important for us to consider is God's love is not just limited or offered to a limited few. Did you know, and I want you to let this sink in for you, that God, I'll tell you, Billy Graham was not more loved by God than you are. And you're thinking, no, man, look at what Billy Graham did. He brought all these people to Christ, people that gave their lives, and he lived an exemplary life. It doesn't matter. God didn't love Billy Graham more than he loved you. Do you get that? That's even hard for me sometimes as I'm sitting there whining and complaining about having to get ready to do a sermon on Sunday, or I got to lead a Bible study, or I'm sitting there thinking like, oh man, what am I going to talk about? God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. I have to remember that, you know what? Billy Graham was no more important than me. Billy Graham was no more important than you. And you can pick whoever you want. You don't have to pick Billy Graham. I picked him because I love his life. And I love the legacy that he left. But he's no more important to God than you are. God's love is offered to all the whosoevers. It plays no favorites. This is what it says in Acts 10. And I pulled this from the Message because I loved the way it was worded. Listen to this. Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. Isn't that great? Isn't that great news? I love that. Peter fairly exploded. He couldn't wait to tell people. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. If you want God and you are ready to do as he says, to believe in him, to trust him, to live the life that he's called you to live, then the door is open. for everybody. Man, I am pumped when I hear that. You don't have to be somebody. It's not offered to just a limited few. And here's the last thing. You don't have to be good enough. It is sad sometimes when I go in when I was doing chaplaincy for hospice, and I would go in with an elderly man or woman that was getting ready to pass on, and I would just talk to them and just listen to them. And I never really brought up anything important, just like, hey, tell me about yourself. And it would always somehow come around to the point where they would look at me and say, you know what, I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've been good enough. You know, I tried to do the right things. I hope I've been good enough. And there's a part of me that wanted to say, well, I can tell you 100% you haven't been good enough. There's a part of me that wants to say, you know what, there's a 100% chance or thing that you were not good enough, that you haven't done all the right things. But I instead go back to this verse. It says, you know what, none of us are perfect. Here's the thing, though. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for you. And if you lived your life as a believer in Jesus Christ and you followed his teaching, then it doesn't matter what you've done, who you are. You don't have to be good enough. Here's what James says. We all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. And I thank God that God's love goes way beyond our stumbling. All the stumbles of our humanness, which are going to happen just about every day. We all stumble in many ways. God has no preconditions. He's not determined his love by how good we are, any of that. But this is what Paul says in Romans. He says this, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that. Paul covered everything. He says, death, life, angels, principalities, things in the present, things in the past, things that are going to come. No powers, the height, the depth, any created thing, nothing will separate you from the love of God. God's love will always be there. The only thing that separates us from God's love is us. God is still going to pour out his love for us. Jesus is always going to stand at the door and knock until we finally have had enough and say, depart from me, Jesus. I don't want anything to do with you, God. And God will still love you, but his heart will break. Paul also says this, in fact, while we were still sinners and far from him, that God loved us and sent his son to die for us. And the truth of that is that we are all at the mercy of God's amazing grace. In all things, his love poured out on whoever would choose to accept it, to embrace it, to receive it in its full measure. So today I want to ask you, are you a whoever? Are you a whosoever? And if you are, do you believe? Do not leave here today without putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. We're going to set up the baptism this week because we've got two baptisms going on next Sunday. And I'll tell you what, I hope more people come down and say, you know what, put me in. We'll hold you under until the Holy Spirit takes over. Yeah, some of you I might have to hold under longer, but it's good, it's good. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and that's us, guys. And next week we're going to talk about we live. We live because he lives. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, to be in your house. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.